The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Church, it is good to worship together. Amen. Man, just think about the lyrics that we sang in that song. That's such a powerful song. I mean, that chorus, "Behold our God, He is able. Behold our King, He ever stands." Always standing. Who compares? Who is His equal? Behold our God, the great I am. Praise God that He's always standing. Praise God that He's always able. And so I don't know what all situations you brought in here with you this morning, but I just want to let you know He is able. And He's standing, and nothing, no one can compare to His ability. Rest in that truth. And today, even as we look at Matthew chapter 7, take your Bibles and turn there with me to verse 24 through 27. Talking about building our lives on the rock of God's Word. It's those truths that we build our lives on. The character of God, the truthfulness of God, that's what we're going to look at today. As you heard me say, and even as we read this passage of Scripture a moment ago as a part of our worship time, this is a portion of our week of prayer. We always begin the first Sunday of our year with a challenge to learn and to be encouraged of how our lives need to be prayerful. Last week, we looked at this same chapter just a few verses earlier about how we should be asking and seeking and knocking in prayer. Our lives should be modeled after that. And the reason why is because Jesus teaches us that God is a good Father and that He is going to give to us as He deems is best for us. It's not that we just go to Him and get whatever we want because He's a good Father. There's things that He's not always going to give to us because He is a good Father. He will choose not to give it to us. But we learned in that passage of Scripture that it's not just one time asking, one time seeking, one time knocking, but it's a life of asking and seeking and knocking and pursuing the Lord and just enjoying being with Him. Today, I want to challenge us in this passage of Scripture of our own lives, of how we're spending and depending upon the Word of God. It's always a way to reevaluate our lives at the beginning of a year, how last year was. So how was last year for you in the Word? Was it good? Could it be better? Did you start out with your great goals and didn't make it 2 weeks? Or did you make a great goal and God was faithful and He helped you? What's a new year? Whatever was, was. And whatever is, is. And this year I want you to not let the enemy defeat you, even today, to say, well, look, you're not going to do it again. You didn't do it last year. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus and trust God's able to help you this year. And as we look at this text today, it's to challenge us that even as we heard earlier, our lives, all of our lives, are built on something. Every one of us. You don't build on nothing. Now, some people build their lives upon trying to just be good. Even in the multiple conversations that I have with people and all the multiple subs that are working on our building, I would say half of those people are building their lives on just trying to be good to the next person. Not harming anybody. Not trying to be bad. Comparing themselves in good versus someone who's not. Some people want to build their lives just upon being successful. They think if they can just be successful, they have built their lives well. Or others who want to build their lives on just having money. They've reached a certain level and they think they've built their lives on those things. But let me tell you something, all that stuff is going to fall away. What are you building your life on? This scripture we're going to learn about today is, unless we build our lives, our house, as Jesus uses the word as an analogy, a picture of our lives, unless it's built upon His Word, it may look good. At some point, the foundation will crumble. So I want us to look at this text today. I want us to be challenged to understand what Jesus is saying to us about this book that we hold in our hand. This precious copy of the Word of God that God has spoken to us and given us His blessing to know it. To hold it in our hands, to have it on your phone. What a privilege it is when 3 billion people throughout the world don't even know about Christ. We're blessed today. I want to challenge you to think about what will you do different this year in this passage of Scripture. Well, let's read this text again. We read it earlier. But for the sake of our context, let's read it again to put it in front of us so we can understand today as we're talking about building our lives on the rock of God's Word. We've sung some great songs this morning about God is our rock, God is our foundation, Christ is our cornerstone, that God is able. May God bless His Word this morning. Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I want us to first establish what Jesus is saying here as the rock. Jesus is equating the rock with His teaching. And what I want you to realize is that His teaching, Jesus is not just talking about His teaching. Jesus equates His teaching on the same level, on the same plane, as the inspired Word of God that had been given at that time. The rock that we're going to build upon is none other than the Word of God. I want you to see that if you look at this passage of Scripture, I want to show you contextually how that Jesus is teaching. Because I grew up even hearing some people make these statements. Well, just read the red letters in the New Testament. Well, first of all, mine don't have any red in it. It's all black. But I grew up hearing that because that was Jesus' teaching. You know, now there's nothing wrong with just reading the red letters, but may we not diminish that all of His Word is good, and all of His Word is right, and all of His Word has been given by God. And what Jesus is saying here is Jesus is not trying to trump and say, my words are better. But what I want you to see contextually in this passage of Scripture, it's not just what Jesus has just taught in this teaching, which is what's called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 7. Because in this teaching, Jesus equates what He's saying with the Word of God, with the commandments that's already been given. Let me give you an example of that. Turn to chapter 5 of Matthew chapter 5. I just want to show you two of these examples. There are several throughout this Sermon on the Mount. Just remember as a reminder, this teaching, verse 5, this chapter 5 through 7, is when Jesus has called His apostles. This is the beginning of His ministry. This is what I like to refer to as boot camp, if you will, of Jesus teaching His disciples. He's pulled them aside. He's pouring into them, saying, this is what it looks like to be a follower of me, if you're going to be my apostle. But in that, He is teaching. He raises the bar and raises a statement in regards to understanding that His words are just like God's. And understand, no one else has done this at this time. Scribes who taught at that time always referred to what someone else said. But no one ever said, do what I say. Look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Well, what is he quoting here? He's quoting a commandment. But notice what Jesus says in verse 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus is saying, look, you've heard what God has said, that you shall not be angry and you shall not murder. Jesus is saying, look, but this is what I'm saying to you. Jesus doesn't negate what was said. Jesus raises the bar to what was said. Now understand, no scribe has ever done that before. So when you get to the end of these teaching in chapter 7, and it says the crowd was astonished at His teaching, they were astonished because if Jesus, get this now, if Jesus is saying, I want you to do what I'm saying, Jesus is equating Himself with the one who gave the word, which is God, which means Jesus is actually claiming divinity. Jesus is claiming that He is none other than God. So when we get to that passage that we just read, when it says, Jesus says, those who do my words, Jesus is saying my words are the exact same thing as all of Scripture. Let me show you another example of that. Look, if you would, just down to verse 38 of chapter 5. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is placing his words on the same level. Now go back to Matthew chapter 7, because this is why I wanted you to understand the context. When Jesus is saying these words in verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine does them will be like a wise man built his house upon the rock. Jesus is not just saying, hey, just do what I'm saying and just forget everything else. And I want to make sure that we understand that, because we all have our favorite books of the Bible, don't we? We all have our favorite genre that we like. We want to stay away from other things that might be a little more difficult for us to read, that we have to dig a little bit deeper to understand what it means. But I want you to understand, going into 2019, I want to challenge you. Dig a little deeper. Don't just take the sweet honey spots that you always like to go to, because all of His Word is the rock that we need. We need multiple pieces to be able, all of His Word, to be able to substantiate and give us a great foundation. We can't just cherry pick either. You can't just pick and say, I want this verse and now that verse. No, what Jesus is saying is all of these words is what we need. Now, I want you to understand what Jesus is saying here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus is not making a contrast between people who hear and people who don't hear. Jesus is making a contrast in this passage of Scripture, the people who hear it and do the Word versus people who hear it and don't do the Word. So get this, all of you right now are hearing the Word of God. All of us are responsible for what we hear. And what Jesus is saying here is, it's not enough just to hear it. If we want, let's make it personal. If you want your individual life, if you want your marriage, if you want your parenting, if you want your grandparenting, if you want to be able to have a foundation that's going to last, you have to not just hear it, you got to do it. This is what he's saying to us. So the challenge and the emphasis that Jesus is saying to us in this passage of Scripture is not just hearing, but doing what has been said. You could memorize a whole book of the Bible, but it will do you no good if you don't obey it. You can quote it. You can even put lyrics to it. And the power of the Spirit can convict you through it. But if you just say it on Sundays and listen to it and you fold it up and you lay it to the side and you do nothing with it and you're begging to try to find it on Sunday morning to try just to get out the door and you're doing nothing with the Word. Listen, you're not building on the rock very good. We all need to hear this again. This is not to browbeat you this morning. This is to challenge us. We're easily susceptible to laziness. To the easy path, least resistance, to do what is least effort possible. And Jesus says, listen, this is at the summation of all that Jesus has taught. And he said, look, all these words I just taught you, he's just invested, pouring into them, spending time with them. And say, look, now what you need to do is to be able to hear and to do. Now, do you understand that Jesus is in this context? He's addressing that obedience is critical. Look back up just one paragraph in verse 21 through verse 23 in chapter 7 again. Jesus has already addressed obedience. Verse 21. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who, what? Does the will of God. Of my Father who is in heaven. So do you hear what Jesus is saying? Is there's going to be many people who's going to have a profession. Many people who's going to say that they love Christ. Maybe even in this room. Maybe those who listen by stream that will say, I love God. I love Christ. But even more than just profession, notice what Jesus continues with in verse 22. On that day, many will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do many works in your name? Do you understand the magnitude of the seriousness and the depth of the warning that Jesus is giving? People can even do stuff in his name and still not be saved. You say, wait a minute, what's happening there? How do we know? Now, this is not to cause fear and in your life to say, man, gosh, am I saved? Am I not saved? I do hope you will evaluate. But notice what Jesus says, verse 23. I will depart from them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of what? Lawlessness. This is the contrast. Remember the earlier part he's saying, it's not just those who say, Lord, Lord, but it's those who do the will of my Father. You can do lots of stuff in the name of Jesus. Listen, because the name of Jesus is powerful. But what's going to define those who are truly in Christ versus those who are not is if your life is not just having a portion of Jesus Christ, but whether Christ is all of your life and your obedience to His Word. We're not going to be perfectly obedient, but what defines us over a course of life is if we are doing His will or we are doing works of lawlessness. That's what Jesus is contrasting. Someone who's obeying Him versus someone who's willingly disobeying Him. That's the workers of lawlessness. You say, what is the context of building your house on the rock? Look then at verse 24 again. Notice how Jesus transitions from that verse to verse 24. Some of your Bibles may say, therefore. My translation says, then. Everyone then who hears these words of mine will be like the one who builds his house on the rock. What is Jesus saying? Is that, look, hear, pay attention, Jesus is saying. It's not just saying, Lord, Lord. He's saying, hear what I'm saying to you and don't just hear it. Do it. That's what he's trying to get us to get to that point. To make certain that we're not just hearing this. Do you understand? As I went back through the Sermon on the Mount again, realizing that Jesus is actually setting up a contrast of two things over and over again. For example, if you were just to look back, you can just flip there, just to chapter 7, just verse 13 and verse 14, that Jesus is given a contrast between two ways, two gates. There is the narrow, and there is the broad. Jesus is saying, you're going to pick one. Then in verse 15 through 20, Jesus talks about two types of fruit. Either the tree bears good fruit, or a tree bears bad fruit. And then in verse 21 through 23 that we just read, there's two types of professions. Those who profess Christ and do His will, or those who profess Christ and have workers of lawlessness. And now, we're in this particular passage in verse 24 through 27. It's also another dualism where Jesus is saying, look, there's only two types of people. Those who hear and do, those who hear and don't. What's the point? There is no in between with God. You're either in the narrow road. You either have good fruit, you have profession and obedience, and you have hearing and obedience, or you're on the broad road, or you have bad fruit, or you have profession without obedience, or you have hearing and no doing whatsoever. Do you hear what Jesus' point is? We, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus challenged us to make certain. Now understand this, confession, I don't want to diminish this, confession is necessary. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, one is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Confession is absolutely necessary, but what Jesus is teaching here is, listen to me very closely, your obedience proves your profession. Your obedience proves your profession. Words mean nothing unless your life proves what you're saying. And so what Jesus is teaching here to us is this. We must be the one who is listening and obeying to this. Now, understand, I want to clarify here. Jesus is not teaching that just doing all the commandments that were also good. It's a both and. Because there are people who are trying to do that. There are people who are trying to just check off the boxes and say, well, I've did that commandment, I've done that commandment, and I've done that commandment. I've been that good, I've been good enough for this. And they're trying to just check off the boxes that they've done all those things. But there has been no genuine repentance and confession and calling out to God to call Him to be your Savior, recognizing that you were a sinner. Listen, there is a both and to this. And so what I want you to understand in this is that Jesus is teaching us that we need to hear it and we need to be confession, but we also need to have it in our lives. Now listen, Jesus makes it clear to us in this passage of Scripture that all of us Every one of us, Jesus puts two types of people. A person who builds his house on the word and the rock versus the one who builds it on the sand, and one who's not disobeying the word. But Jesus lets us know, if you think that your life is okay and what you're doing, and some of you in this room were probably at that point one time in your life. You thought the route that you were taking was fine. You thought the manner and way you were living was good. But then Jesus teaches us in this passage of Scripture that everybody is building their house on something. But he tells us that the storms that come will prove and show whether or not you're building on the rock or not. Look, the point is this. Look at the text again. Jesus is not showing favoritism towards one who is doing the word, obeying the word, versus one who is hearing and not obeying the word. I want you to get that right now, okay? Because I hear that often. It's a common problem within our society is, well, wait a minute, if God is good and God is right, then why has X, Y, and Z happened to such and such? Heard that before? Jesus is saying this passage of Scripture, storms are going to happen for everybody. Look at it again. There is no distinction, no difference. Verse 25, the rain fell to the man who is, let's go back to verse 24, you're like a wise man who builds his house on the rock, the rain fell. Floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And what's the rock? The word of God, trusting, hearing, and obeying. Verse 26, exact same storms. But everyone who hears the words, does not do them, is like a foolish man who builds his house in the sand. The rain fell, floods came, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you notice that they're exactly the same? The storms are the same. All of us in this room, all of us in this room, will have storms in some capacity. It may be different for me and Liz. It might be different for John and Gail. It might be different for Brendan and Mallory. Storms are different. And this is why it's so critical, because you know what? We're in a society, let's actually use a meteorological analogy. We're in a society where warnings get to happen. Even down to the minute, rain will happen at 3:23. If you're like me, then you're looking. Let's see if they're right. So we can almost have a prediction and warning, but you know, even in our own history here, on the coast here, there were hurricanes in our history that they didn't know was coming. And people's lives were rocked. But here's the thing, even with forecast ability, lives still get rocked. We don't know what's going to happen. I can't tell you what's going to happen to me tomorrow or my family. You can't tell me what's going to happen to you tomorrow with your family. This is why it's so critical that we do make certain that we're building on the rock so that whatever storm may come, what may, we're ready. Listen, I grew up in North Alabama where it was what we call Tornado Alley, where we had storm pits. It was a frequent thing to see a little hump in the yard with a little door in it. If you've ever driven through that area and you're thinking, why are they building like a little cabin in the dirt? Because it was to be a protection for when the storms came to run. Sometimes those got used once a year. Sometimes they never got used. I can remember multiple times as a child being woken up in the middle of the night by my parents to drive quickly to my grandparents to go into the storm shelter to wait till the tornado passed to make sure we were safe. You say, what's the point of having it if you only use it once a year? Because it's the once a year and maybe the storm that may come that you may not ever know is coming that you're ready. What's the point? The word is the same way. We desperately need to have it. We desperately need it to be a foundation, to be a rock bed for us so that maybe the storm's not for you, parent, but listen to me. Maybe your child might have a storm that they're going to be looking to you to be the rock bed of the family, to point them to the solid doctrinal character of God. And they say, Dad, Mom, why? And you can point them to the truth of the word because you've been grounded in the rock of God. What about the coworker who's been rocked? Yesterday. Yesterday morning, a few of us gathered at the building to do some cleaning. We'd been there about an hour. I was inside in the sanctuary area doing some cleaning, and I saw one of our subs pull up, and it was a few minutes later, I heard a shrill. And Jerry came to get me, because just as he drove up, his son-in-law followed him in to tell him that his daughter was found dead yesterday morning at 3:30. He didn't get up yesterday morning thinking that his world was about to be turned upside down. He is a believer, thank God, but he's hurting. Yesterday, Joan Chain's husband Gary passed away. A member of our congregation, unexpected. What do you do in those moments? It's in those moments. Listen, as a pastor, I've preached funerals more than I can tell you. But I can tell you there's a stark difference between someone who knows the Lord and someone who doesn't when they get rocked by death. Oh, and people still grieve. People still have sorrow. But those are the storms that we don't wake up and have a text message from God to say, hey, at 9:05, I'm going to give you some bad news. We will have storms. And there may be some that may happen to us in 2019. May not be anything that happens in 2019. But listen, church family, we need to be ready no matter what comes our way. And to do so, we need to be like this. We need to be in here and digging to know it, not just to be ready for the storm, just so that we know God. And it says we grow in the character of God. It's the character and the truth of God that we will know. Listen, that song, God My Rock, it's a psalm in Proverbs that talks about how God is the rock and He is a refuge to those who run to it and they are safe. When the world around us is in chaos, we can simply say, I may not have the answers, but I can trust in the God who knows. I can rest in the God who is sovereign. I can rest in Colossians 3:17 that we memorized last month that says He holds all things together. When I feel like I am falling to pieces, I can hold to the God who will hold me together. This is what you need. You need to be digging deep into that word so that we know. Now understand this. As we look at this passage of scripture, look back at your Bible. I want you to see something in this text. I want to point out to you some grammar that's here in this passage of scripture. Something that Jesus is teaching us of what we're supposed to do. Jesus says in verse 24, again, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Notice the tense of the word hears and does. Hears it, does it. What tense is that? Present tense. Those who hear these words, those who do these words. So don't just think, oh, I can hear it one time and I can do it one time and I'm good. No. Jesus is using the present tense that's here, meaning that we need to keep on hearing and we need to keep on doing. Just because you were great and successful this week doesn't mean you check off the box and you're great for the rest of your life. How much so do we need to hear it this week and next year and the year after that? And we need to hear it all the way up to the point of our grave and we need to keep on doing. We desperately need to be there. Desperately need to be hearing. Desperately need to be calling out to that. Now understand, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I understand if we look at this passage, you realize that to build on the rock, it takes effort and intentionality to do so. It's not simply that just comes what may. I mean, think about this passage of Scripture. Jesus is speaking into a culture where it wasn't just like rock was on top of the ground. So to get to the rock, they literally, it wasn't like they just walked up and says, okay, I want to buy that parcel of ground because that one has some great granite and some great stone. I'll build my house right there. The topography of that area and the land of that day was often very sandy based. Sometimes I read one historical document that one particular person had to dig down 30 feet to get to rock. But they wanted their house to stand. It takes effort. I remember when Liz and I lived in Grand Isle, it was the strangest thing I'd ever seen. Now, Grand Isle is full of water anyways. But I remember driving on the island the first time. Okay, who's been to Grand Isle? Okay, Grand Isle is 2 hours south of New Orleans. When I was told that, I was like, what in the world is south of New Orleans, you know? When I lived in North Alabama, I'm like, man, we're out in the middle of the ocean now? Where are we at? And you were driving down there thinking, are we ever going to get there? And you're literally at the bottom of the world, you know? People say it's the end of Highway 1. No, people in Grand Isle say it's the beginning of Highway 1. That's their pride. We're driving there, you know, and we're seeing people actually build homes or they put trailers up. And so I would see them to make sure. They couldn't just put it on the ground because the soil there was terrible. They would take this water jet, make a small hole, and they would force the jet down into the soil to open it up, and then they have a piling to get it just right, and then it would just sink in there until it hit the solid foundation. It was the craziest thing, but it was mesmerizing to watch. To see this little pole just set there, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, shoom, and it just dropped till it hit the ground. And these poles would be all uneven. I'm like, well, that's going to be a funky-looking house. Of course, then they come back and level it out and make it solid to be able to build something on. But what they were doing was they understood. It would take them sometimes multiple days to be able to set the foundation right before they could start building. You get the picture? Understand, in this context, the person who built his house on the sand was not ignorant to the soil, because he heard the word. He was impatient, and he chose not to do what he had been told. He chose to do it his way. He chose to go ahead and build the house his way, rather than doing it what was told and what was the proven method of their time. He would go ahead and build his house. Now here's the thing. Those houses would last for a while. They would look good. And they would be beautiful. But notice, the storm would come. Now I know that some of your responses may be, and the responses I've heard from people just through the years of ministry, well, what about such and such? They don't love God. They don't seem to obey God. And their life, using this analogy, their house seems to all be in order. They seem to have a good job. They seem to have a good family. They seem to be having everything that's there. What about them? And I'm over here trying, and it seems that I'm struggling over and over again. You know the answer to that? The final storm will come. And their lives may all seem to be, and I say seem to be because you don't know what happens inside the brick and mortar. It may seem to be in order, but here's the thing. There's going to be many people who's going to stand before God thinking they've had everything their way and they chose to do it their way and their house was on the sand. And when the final storm comes, when they stand before God and the final judgment, their foundation will be revealed. And if it was not God and if it was not His Word, their foundation will crumble and then they will spend eternity away from God. So don't just look at the outwardness of what people seem to have as their house. Here's what you need to do. Stop comparing your life to somebody else. Build your life on what you know is true. If the path that God deems for you is one of much suffering, then be like Paul and say, we are suffering along with Christ for the sake of the glory of God. All of our paths are different. And this is the danger. It is the danger of Christianity to say, well, my life is not like his, or my life is not like hers. No, it's never going to be like that. But what you can do is to know for sure that on the path that God has for you right now, the day where you are, whether you are jobless or whether you have a job, whether you have a good marriage or whether you have a marriage that's struggling, whether you have obedient children or whether you have children that are being rebellious, or whether you are a grandparent and everything seems to be okay or everything seems to be falling apart, don't compare your life to everybody else. Just look at the Word and say, God, you said for me to hear and to obey, and so I'm going to trust you. And then what comes tomorrow? You trust. And what comes the day after that? You trust. And you hear. And you obey. So listen, to build your house, my life, on 2019, on the Word of God, it's going to take effort and intentionality. What does that mean practically? We can talk about this in an illustrative fashion all day long, but practically it just means this. I want to get down to the nitty-gritty. It means that you and I have to carve out time. To sit and delight in the God who redeemed you. This is more. I don't want you to hear me from your pastor. This is more than just checking off a box for you to come next week and say, "Pastor, I read the Bible 7 days a week." That's great. But oh, how we need to sit and hear and enjoy God. Because how many of us have been parts of conversations that we see their mouth moving, but we're not hearing? Husbands and wives? I'll back that up. Husbands guilty? It's easy. You could do this. Set your alarm, get up and read. Okay, I did it. Go on. But how much more so to say, sit before God and say, "God, today, through your word, would you teach me about you? Show me you." Redemption Church exists to delight in God. And oh, how I want to challenge you this year to delight in Him more. For you see, our delighting in Him flows out to the declaring, flows out to the discipling. And if we're delighting in Him and sitting before His Word, listen, there are times in the mornings, I cherish the mornings. I know you're not all morning people, but I cherish the morning time. It's quiet. It's good. Nobody's moving around. You say, "That's exactly like the nighttime." Oh, I'm not moving around at nighttime either. Nighttime comes and I'm dead to the world. But the morning times are such a sweet time. I have my cup of coffee. I sit on the end of the couch and I'm just sitting there. And there are times where I can read chapters, and there's other times I'm just gripped by a word. And I simply meditate on that. That's like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who meditates on the word day and night, just sitting there and pondering the greatness of God. And then it's almost where it's like I just keep chewing on that all day long. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are days that I've sat and I've read and I've not walked out of that reading time like jumping up and down like, "Whoo, that was great." And sometimes I'm like, "Okay, Lord, what is it you're trying to teach me out of that passage of Scripture?" Anybody been there? Okay, we're all on the same page. But it's the faithfulness and the discipline to sit there and to be there. And then God, through His Spirit, opens up the Word to us and it's alive. So to build our house on the rock, if we want to be able this year, 2019, to be able to be strong, then we have to be able to hear it. And listen, that means we have to make time to hear it. I don't care what you have to do. If you're driving to the work early in the morning, turn off the newsfeed radio and turn on the Bible. There's all kind of apps so you can do it now. The excuses are out the window. Just making the time to be with Him. Because listen to me very closely. It's not difficult. You can't obey what you don't hear. Can I make it any simpler? Jesus makes it that simple for us. To hear it, then to obey it. Now, I also want you to hear this. Practically, making that time individually, but some of us, you know, some of you may struggle to be able to read the Bible by yourself. Maybe you're a new believer and wanting and needing that help. And that's where I'd say practically is. That's what the benefit of the small groups on Sunday mornings are for. People who are seasoned as teachers. If you're not connected, get connected so that you can study the Word together. Ask those questions so it can challenge you to push you deeper into the Word of God. Parents, grandparents. Helping your kids to understand and hear to obey the Word of God. It's more than you just bringing them and dropping them off to the class on Sunday morning. It's more than just setting them here in worship and you keep tapping them and saying, "Shh, listen." It's more than just giving them a children's bulletin to make sure they fill it in right. Listen to me. Let me just tell you something practically that Liz and I do. Every day on Sundays when we go home, we have lunch. If we have not had lunch with someone, if we have lunch with someone, then it happens at nighttime. We will sit there over lunch because I want them to get what they're hearing. Hey, tell me what you learned in your class today. And no, I don't know is not an answer. If they say, I don't know, I'll come back to you. Next. Why do we do that? Because I want them to not just hear the word, I want them to get the word. Now the real question is, what did you learn in the sermon? And there are times when my kids say, I don't know. What book of the Bible were we in? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? No, we were in Matthew. We're human just like you, all right? But what's the point? Because if this is Jesus speaking to us, and he says if he wants our lives to be built upon the rock, the only way to do it is not just to hear it, but to do it, then parents, husbands and wives, families, grandparents, singles, whatever it is, talk about the word to make sure that we're getting it so that we can do it. Now, I want you to be thinking about something. In that effort, I use our building on 434 as an illustration. Before we could pour the concrete to build up on a good foundation, it started all the way back in 2008 when David, who is a member of our congregation, had to clear a bunch of rubble and trees. And those piles were huge, weren't they, David? He burned and burned and burned and burned. And then he wasn't done. Then he had to clear off the muck, the topsoil, to get down to the good stuff. And then we had to bring in dirt. A lot of dirt. And more dirt. And I'm thinking, Lord have mercy. Is there any dirt left in this world to build our church on? But it was necessary. Do you know why we had to build so much dirt? Because the foundation of our church had to be 18 inches higher than 434. So that if there was ever a flood, we could be high enough to withstand it. Do you know that was hard to wait till that dirt got done? To build on the foundation takes time. And why do I say that illustration? Because if you are in Christ, some of us may have some muck and debris that needs to be cleared. And some of you know what it is. The Spirit convicts us. He shows us. He reveals it to us. So today, if you're saying, I want to build on the rock, I want my life to be built on the rock, it's a both and. So spend time with the Lord. But this is part of the obedience. If in you hearing it, Christ is telling you to do certain things and convicting you of certain things, he's telling you to get rid of those things. So to build the foundation, to be strong, this underlaying material that's not good surface material, you need to get rid of it. So start today. Take the actions that are necessary of pulling that stuff back so that God can make you strong in Him. So I ask you just plainly, what will your life look like this year? How will it be different than what you're doing right now? Maybe you have a great discipline. And maybe you're doing a wonderful job of sitting and delighting in God. Then I just want to fan the flame for you and encourage you, keep on. But if you're here and you have professed faith in Christ and your only soul of feeding is Sunday morning, then I want to challenge you, you need more. And if it's been intermittent, then my challenge to you is find out how it can be consistent. Do what's necessary so that our lives are built on a solid rock that will last. Here's the last thing I want to say to you is this. I can't build your house for you. You can't build the house for me. We can encourage, we can challenge, and we can hold accountable. But today, you make the choice. You do the action. You do the time carving so that you can be able to build your house on the rock. Now, I want to join today to last week. If you are spending time and hearing His Word and obeying His Word and enjoying Him, you know what's going to happen to your prayer life? It's going to thrive. You know why? Because the truths that you're learning about God and the things that He's revealing, then that asking, seeking, and knocking we talked about last week, you're asking, seeking, and knocking is learning more about the will of God. You're learning more about the kingdom of God. You're learning more about the character of God. So my asking and seeking and knocking is not just based upon what I think. It's based upon what I know from what God has said. So keep on asking, keep on knocking, and depend upon the Word of God. And may we build our lives firmly on the rock of God in 2019. But if you're here today and you have not yet made Him king, then I want to say to you, you can build your house and you think that you're good, but one day it's going to crumble. Don't let it be too late. So last question I ask you, what will you do different this year with the Word in your life? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is secure in its truthfulness. Lord, thank You that we have it as a solid foundation. So God, this morning I pray that as we as a church move forward into 2019, as individuals and as a corporate body, Help us to hear and to do. For those, God, in this flock that You have put under my care, that who have great intentions but are just struggling to be able to carve that time out, oh God, would by Your grace that You would enable us, prod us, challenge us to carve that time out for You. God, for those in this room, those who are listening by stream, that You have shown to them that there's still muck that's there. They've surrendered life to You. There's debris in the way. There's trees in the way. And that You've convicted them through Your Spirit. Give them the power through the Spirit of God to turn those things over to You. God, I thank You that we don't do this by our own power. Thank You that the Word teaches us in John 14 that You tell us that the Holy Spirit will be our helper to do these things. God, if there's some in this room that they know that they've heard what You've said, but they're just not doing it. Oh God, grip them today so that they would be obedient to You. God, grip us. Help us to be a people who's building on the rock for the storms that may happen. But God, there are some in our church right now who are walking through some storms. And those storms are hard for some. Lord, I pray for Your grace and Your power for those who are walking in some very difficult moments. Lord, root them in the truth of Your Word. Root them in the comfort that You are with them. But Lord, there may be some in this congregation who are going through storms that we can't even see. Some storms that aren't visible because we don't know about them, but yet it's a storm raging in their home or in their mind. God, empower them by the Spirit of Christ to be able to endure that storm. And so Lord Jesus, we ask You today that if there is any in this room, any who listen by stream right now who have tried and are doing building their house in their own way, open their eyes to help them to realize that their house will fall. And that your foundation is the best foundation. Oh Lord, may today in this moment as we sing praise to you, help us just to be obedient to you. Take steps that we need to take. Repent for what we need to repent over. Take actions for what we need to do. Decisions that we need to do. Whatever it is, oh God, by your Spirit, enable us. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, Jared and I will be here to receive you if you need prayer. But let's use this as an opportunity to sing this truth to God. Make the decisions that we need to make. Decisions for this year, for the Word. Let's sing to Him this morning.